with us again tonight, Don.
Well, again, thank you for the privilege and opportunity to be able to be with you. I don't feel, however, that much more needs to be said tonight. Listening to Danny talk and looking at those pictures, very moving. And honestly, Danny, I've gotten to know you now for, 20 hours or something like that. We're staying at the same house. And I don't understand why anybody would hang up on you.
They don't.
Oh, I understand. But the illustration of keeping one hand on heaven and one hand to touch a hurting world, that's a beautiful illustration that we should all take home with us tonight and be thinking about. Keeping our gaze on heaven, on Jesus, on what he has done for us, on God in his holiness, and keeping that hand on a dying world and being that source that God can use to touch a dying and hurting world. I do have one bone to pick with you, though. You said that you were married to the most beautiful woman on earth. But I am. How can that be?
It's all in the eyes of the beholder.
Yes, that's true. I have a wonderful family, and most of you, if you were in Sunday school this morning, I showed a picture of the family. I have four wonderful kids. One of them is here. I love to talk about my kids. When I travel, I do a lot of traveling with Send, and I go into my wallet, and I take out pictures. I have their school pictures in my wallet, so I take them out, and I show them to everybody, and I love to talk about the things that they love to do and what they love to do. And John here, see, if you had gone out to Sunday school, you wouldn't have heard this. John is a great encourager. That's one of the things I love about John. If you can come in discouraged or frustrated, John's going to be the person who's going to come up to you, and he's going to grab on and keep holding and hugging and hugging. And the ice or the frustration of the day just kind of melts away. He's a great encourager and a hard worker. Sorry for embarrassing you, but it's true. I have my daughter, Rebecca. She loves to sing. She is learning to drive, but she is a really quality young lady, and she wants to serve the Lord in her life. I have a young daughter, 7 years old, Joy. And basically, I could tell you about her is that her name fits her. She's smiling almost all the time, unless she's arguing with John or somebody else. But she's a very joyful young lady and a really neat kid. And then I have another son, Tim. Now, Tim is almost 15. He'll be 15 in December. Well, one of the things that Tim loves to do is he loves to compose music. He's got a special talent. He has music, he sits down at a piano, he starts plucking away, kind of like Danny, and just all of a sudden, he'll have a song. And then he'll take a pencil, it's usually a pencil, not a pen, because he wants to erase a lot, and he starts writing words. He writes orchestrations on the computer and layers, the different strings and drums and brass all in there. And then he takes some other orchestrations and he makes this praise and worship music, just wonderful, wonderful things. And you know, and maybe Danny, you can understand this as a musician yourself, when that song is in his mind, but it hasn't come out through his fingers or through his voice, you can't take him off track until he gets to that point. He starts, he sits down at the piano, and he starts playing, and we can call him for dinner, and he loves to eat. He's a teenager, but he won't come. He is focused. This is the main thing. This is what I'm going to focus on. This is what I want to do. I want to play this song, and I want to get it out on paper. I don't want to forget it, but Tim, you got to come and clean up your room. Can I please just finish this chorus? Can I please just finish this last little piece? And usually he just doesn't hear us, and he just keeps going right through meals, and sometimes we just let him go because he's got his mind and his focus on this one thing. And that's what I'd like to talk about a little bit tonight, the main thing, a focus, single-minded focus that we should have. And the example for keeping the main thing, is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What I'd like you to do is I'd like you to take in your Bibles, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 4. John chapter 4 is a wonderful, wonderful passage where Jesus shows his disciples and shows an unbelieving woman, of course that changes later, the Samaritan woman, what the main thing is. And he keeps focused on that main thing. Now, I'm not going to read the entire section. I'll just give a quick summary, a reminder of some of the pieces that are here, and then we'll pick up probably around verse 26 or so and go on from there with some of our key verses for tonight. You know the passage. You know the story in John chapter 4. Right at the very beginning, we have Jesus and his disciples. They're heading, traveling up to Galilee, and they need to stop in Samaria, travel through that area. They're tired. It's the middle of the day. And so they come to this well, and they sit down. Or Jesus sits down at the side of the well, and his disciples, all 12 of them, they say, "We're hungry. We want to go down to the 7-Eleven and pick up some Slurpees and some bread and come on back here." Jesus just sits down right there and waits. And they take off. And as Jesus is waiting there, we know what happens next. A woman comes up to the well. Now, it's the middle of the day. A little bit peculiar for a woman to show up in the middle of a day. Usually they would come in the morning or in the evening when it was cooler, but this is right in the middle of the hot day. And comes up, and Jesus asks her for some water. She, of course, is surprised. She's surprised because Jesus is a Jew. She's a Samaritan. Jews and Samaritans do not get along together. They hate each other, as it were. They have a bad relationship, bad blood. And not only are they different in their ethnic backgrounds, but they're also different in their gender. A man talking to a woman, there's nobody else around, middle of the day, Jews, Samaritans. And he asks her for some water. And as we know, when we pick up the story and understand the story, he turns around and offers her living water. And as she is focusing on this water, I'm sorry, I lost my place here. Here I am trying to give a summary, and I lost my summary point. Forgive me. Jesus answers her by offering her different water, living water. But she says, "You don't have anything to pull up to get the water up out of the well." And Jesus starts to begin to explain to her that the water that he is offering to her is not the kind of water that we're talking about here. But it's eternal water, water that gives new life, springing forward to eternal life. And she, of course, wants this kind of water. Jesus says that, "Go get your husband and come back and we'll talk about it." And you know the story. She's surprised that he knows all these things about her. And as he continues on to explain the situation, he says that there will be a time when worshipers will come together and they will worship all together in the city. Wow. I apologize. I've been sick the last couple of days, and I am really getting sidetracked here in my mind, going in a totally different direction. That has never happened to me before. Hope you can bear with me in patience. I've had an ear infection for the last couple of days, and this side is actually totally closed up, so it's a little bit hard sometimes to focus in. Let's jump forward for a second. Is that okay with you? You're patient with me? Great. Thank you very, very much. A time comes in the story as Jesus is spending time with this woman. She's confused, maybe much like I'm confused right now in finding my place on this piece of paper. And she says, a time will come when the Messiah will come, and he will explain and make all of this clear to us. And what does Jesus say in response to her? I am he. I am he. Now, she might know a little bit of religious things, being a Samaritan. Obviously, from the story, she understands some spiritual things. And when she hears those words, I can imagine her thinking, that's very similar to what God said to Moses back in the Old Testament. Say to the Jews, I am sent you. For her, it was a point of revelation. For her, it was a point of salvation. What does the woman do after Jesus reveals himself to her? Thank you very, very much. I do appreciate that. When Jesus declares who he is to her, what does she do? She came up there to fetch some water. She puts down her jar, she puts down her bucket, and she takes off for town. She goes down to town to share with the people down there about what she had just heard. Jesus had a chance. Jesus had a chance to share eternal life with her. Jesus had a chance and took the opportunity to focus on the main thing, to keep the main thing the main thing. And what were the disciples doing during that time? We already talked about it. They went downtown to pick up some food in order to bring it back. They had their focus on their bellies. They wanted to eat. They didn't want to be right there in Samaria. They hated those people, as a matter of fact. They probably moved as fast as they could when they went down to the store. See, the Samaritans and the Jews didn't interact with the Samaritan people. They hated them. As a matter of fact, John MacArthur writes they preferred instead to they would prefer instead. I'm sorry. So great was their disdain for the Samaritans that the stricter Jews avoided traveling through Samaria altogether. They preferred instead to be defiled by a lesser evil. Thus, they would cross the Jordan and travel up the east bank through a largely Gentile region of Perea. They would then cross back into Galilee, north of Samaria. Jesus could have easily had gone that way, and his disciples probably would have preferred that he had gone that way. They were anxious to leave. They were hungry. And yes, they were tired too. And they wanted to get their food, get their little bit of rest, and take off. But Jesus takes this opportunity to be able to share with them. And in verse 32 of John chapter 4, we read, But Jesus said to them, when they offer him some food, Jesus says to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. And his disciples, though, are very confused. They say to each other, Could someone have brought him some food? He says, No. I have been keeping the main thing, the main thing. My food, says Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do not say 4 more months and then the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look on the fields, for they are ripe and ready for harvest. Jesus has food, and his food is to do the will of the Father. His food is to do the main thing, to keep the main thing, the main thing. And to clarify what that main thing is, all we would need to do is jump over to John chapter 6 in verse 38 through 40. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of them on that day, but raise them up on the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. Jesus is keeping the main thing the main thing, and the main thing is eternal life to those who don't know him. It's sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. His disciples, their focus is on themselves. They went downtown, 12 people, to get the bread. How many came back? 12. They didn't bring anyone with them. They're traveling with the Messiah. They're traveling with Jesus, the miracle worker, and yet they come back on their own with no one with them. Going there and getting that food isn't a bad thing, but where was your heart? Where was your focus, he asks them. Was it on your tummy? Or sharing, or were you focused on something else, not on the main thing? How often do we get distracted? Jesus is showing us an example of keeping the main thing the main thing. And how often do we get distracted in our own lives with eating, work. Sometimes we get tired, we're overwhelmed. Yes, we must keep on living, but where is our focus? Do we keep the main thing the main thing? Do we keep the main thing when it's inconvenient or it's difficult? About 3 months ago, I had the opportunity to travel to the country of Thailand. And when I was up there in Thailand, I met a young couple, Filipino couple, who are doing missionary work in northern Thailand. They've been there for about 4 years. About 3 years ago, they've been working with children, and about 3 years ago, they received a phone call from the Burmese border. They lived on the border town near Burma, and they received a call from a contact over in Burma. They said, "You need to come. You work with kids. We have some kids who need some help." And when they arrived, they found this adult contact with 7 kids. And these kids are ages 5, 6, 7 years old. They said, "If we don't do something to help these little kids out tonight, we're going to lose them tomorrow into some type of slavery. They're probably going to end up marching along the border with guns in their hands, securing and keeping secure the Burmese border. Can you help us at least with some of these kids?" And this Filipino couple, they looked at each other, they looked at these kids, they began to talk about which kids they might be able to take, which ones they might be able to help. They already had 3 kids of their own. And they said, "We'll take all of them." They brought those kids into their own home. And in the year following that year, 3 years ago, in the year following, they took in 3 more children. And when I was there just these months ago, and I heard these kids, 3 years in this home, most of them have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. And they sang a praise and worship song in the English language. They've taught them English, one that we know very, very well. It ends, "He's my Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for Him." If those Filipinos would not have kept the main thing, where would those kids be today? They're not only safe, they're not only clothed, they're not only clean and healthy, but they know Christ. They're being a light in a dark place. They're keeping the main thing, the main thing. Do we keep the main thing when we look at someone and we think, they don't even want to hear the gospel. They don't want to hear about Jesus. They're the kind of people who don't listen to that kind of thing. Well, again, just a few months ago, I was talking with a pastor friend in Kazakhstan during one of our training sessions that we were doing there. And he was sharing with me about a woman who came to their church during an evangelistic outreach. A number of people had come as guests that particular day, but there was this one woman. She was kind of standing off in a corner. Some of them recognized this woman. She was a woman of influence. She was wealthy. She had power in the community. And they're wondering, why is she there? Why would she come to something like this? Typically, it's the poor. Typically, it's the outcasts that come into the church in Kazakhstan. But this woman is a woman of influence. They gave an altar call during that particular service. She didn't come forward. But as the sanctuary began to clear out, she waited behind and she said, "Miriam Beck, I'd like to talk to you." That's the pastor of the church. She came over to them and they were talking to each other and they find out that this woman says, "I have everything. I have power, I have money, I have everything I want, everything that I need, but I have an emptiness inside that I can't fill. What you said tonight in the gospel message is what I need to fill the empty place." Do we keep the main thing, even when we think they could have looked at her and said, "Oh, she's not interested in these kinds of things. She has everything she needs." Keeping the main thing, the main thing. Keeping the main thing, even when it's dangerous for us. We talked this morning briefly about the earthquake, tsunami, and nuclear disaster that took place in Japan and how SEND has a number of missionaries that are in that area. There was a young couple who lived near the Fukushima nuclear generating plant in that area. And after the tragedy took place, this one couple found their way through a contact into a church, and they gave their lives to Christ. And as the story began to unfold, as they began to share who they were, began to realize that this man was one of the workers at the Fukushima power plant. And he left when the accident took place because he was afraid for his own life. And now, a few days later, he's now a Christian. And even as a young, newborn Christian, he says, I need to go back to that nuclear plant. And we knew in those early days, you remember, a lot of people were afraid of how dangerous that was going to be for those workers that were there. He said, I need to go back, and the reason is because I need to tell all those others that are working in there about Jesus. As a young believer, he was keeping the main thing, even when it could have meant his own death. Let's go back to our story. Jesus is talking to his disciples. And when I envision this particular verse, the one I already read to you, verse 35, I can kind of imagine him gathering his disciples around, pulling them into himself, just gathering around. Hey, guys, come here. Come here for a second. You're all worried about food. You're worried about leaving this area as soon as possible because of your hearts and your bitterness towards these people. And he says, he's standing up on a hill, kind of like I'm up here on this platform, and I think he looks down the hill and he begins to see a crowd of people coming up this direction towards him. And he says, look, do not say that 4 more months and then the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields, for they are ripe and ready for harvest. The time is now. This woman, she came up here to get some water. She put her jar down. She put away her priority for that moment, and she went to share the gospel with the people in that town. And she asks a question in verse 29. She says, come and see a man who told me everything that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? I don't think that's a question of whether or not she believed. I think she was asking them a question in their own hearts. Do you believe? Could this be the Christ? And here they are coming up the hill, and he's putting his arms around his disciples, and he's saying, do not say there are 4 more months and then the harvest. Today is the day of harvest. How often do we put behind us, we say, well, we can do it tomorrow, we can do it tomorrow, we can do it tomorrow. God is moving in this world today in an exciting way, in some ways a scary way. Unprecedented numbers of earthquakes and hurricanes, and the U.S. Tornadoes that were in the south last spring. Chile, Haiti, Japan, Australia had some of its worst typhoons in history last year. Birth pangs. God's doing some exciting things in the Muslim world. In the last 30 or so years, more Muslims have come to Christ than all the years since the beginning of Islam. God is moving in an exciting way, and yet the vast majority of people in the Muslim world still don't know of Christ, still haven't heard his name, don't know who he is. Who will tell them? When will we tell them? Jesus says, do not say 4 more months. Don't wait, just like when we plant seed and then we harvest it. No, don't say that. Today is the day that we need to be engaged, not tomorrow. Today is the day when we need to focus and to keep the main thing, the main thing. One of the things I like when I think about this woman, too, that we can apply to our own lives, the Samaritan woman who went down to that town, she didn't have the training. Sometimes we say, well, I can't do it today because I'm not trained and I don't know how to do the talking. Well, this woman didn't know very much. But what she did is she just went down and she shared the story that she knew how to share. And God is encouraging each and every one of us to keep the main thing the main thing. To not put off for tomorrow when we have an opportunity today to share the gospel. To not put off for tomorrow when we have an opportunity to say, here am I, send me. I'm willing to go overseas. I'm willing to go to Grand Rapids. I'm willing to go wherever you say, Lord, and I will serve you. We need to follow the example of Jesus Christ and keep the main thing, the main thing. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, You know our hearts. You know the personal struggles even for me to communicate this evening. But I also remember a time in my own life when my Russian was so rough and I preached a sermon and I thought that everything just went out the window and wasn't understood or heard because the Russian was so rough. And Lord, tonight, health and struggling a little bit, but we have opened up your word. And Lord, I pray that whatever was said from your word, that it would remain in each of us, and that we would take as a priority for our lives the same priorities that Jesus had, to do your will, to follow you, and to keep the main thing, living a life that is pleasing to you and declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to follow him, to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and to serve him by keeping the main thing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, Don, I would just remind you, and I know you know this, I'm just reminding you of what you already know too, but God's word never returns void. And it doesn't matter what kind of vessel we feel like we are or how inadequate we feel sometimes, and I understand that, but God uses those moments, and maybe he's spoken to some of us tonight in very specific ways. I just wanted to end and conclude tonight by just reading one verse in John chapter 4 that later goes on to say that many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. And, you know, I think, again, sometimes we underestimate just the small little things that we do, or maybe just feel like, well, I'm not adequate, or I don't know enough, or I, you know what I mean? I mean, we come up with so many different reasons why we don't do the main thing. And I think in the simplicity of this woman's testimony, God just used it and blessed it, and it bore fruit, you know? And so as we think about even going into another week, there's all sorts of little opportunities that you and I will have. And they will vary. And you may have a chance only to say something in passing, have a brief conversation, or you may have a more blatant opportunity to share the gospel with somebody. I don't know. And maybe it's just about you just sharing something. I was talking to somebody this morning, and I was just so encouraged, and they said, you know, I've just, God's given me has removed some fear in my life and giving me freedom just to talk about Jesus to people. And not in a some threatening way, but just little opportunities. And they said, you know, I saw this child in Walmart, or a young boy, and he was wearing a cross. And this person just said, do you know who was on that cross? And he had just had little tidbit of an opportunity to tell him that it was Jesus, and that Jesus really loves him a lot. And that was the end of the conversation. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, that's just faithfulness to a very small opportunity that God gave him. And it was just, I was so encouraged this morning just hearing of a number of other ones that he's been faithful to and God's used. And who knows where all of that goes one day, you know, when you get to heaven and find out that maybe that was a seed planted that God will use to bear fruit for his eternal glory. And so may we be encouraged to be like the Samaritan woman and be faithful just to share the testimony that God's laid on our heart and the work that he's done in our life. And where that goes, well, we're not responsible for the fruit God is, but we are responsible to be faithful to that, right? And so let's look for those opportunities, and let's be faithful in the ones that we see as we go through our week this week. So I think with that, we'll close and invite you to come back tomorrow. Keith Walsworth will be with us. He will be speaking tomorrow night. And let's see, if you haven't signed up yet for for, I'm not sure if the luncheon, if there's still a sign up or not for that. If not, and if you haven't had that opportunity, well, Tuesday at noon, ladies, invite you to join us for that. And then Saturday, men, I think there is a sign up for you guys still. If you haven't signed up, join us for Saturday morning for the men's breakfast with Steve Best. And well, the rest of the activities are in your bulletin or in your missions insert, so you can check all the details there as well. So anyway, thanks for a good evening, Don. Thanks for being with us today. And thank you for being with us tonight. And we'll see you tomorrow night, Lord willing. All right, you're dismissed.